welcome to today's deep dive. Usually when you look at a price tag on a piece of metal, you expect it to be pretty straightforward.
Right, yeah.
It weighs a certain amount, it costs a certain amount, you pay, you leave. But look at electrical bus bars. I mean, they are the absolute backbone of power distribution, and suddenly that simple price tag is a total illusion.
Oh, completely.
So, okay, let's unpack this. We have a really detailed technical guide here on bus bar pricing and total cost of ownership. And our mission today is to figure out why the quote-unquote cheapest upfront bus bar can silently turn into a massively expensive system over, say, 20 years.
Yeah, it's surprising how complex raw metal pricing can be when you really dig into it.
Right. So where does that hidden cost even start?
Well, it starts with the raw metal, specifically the London Metal Exchange benchmark. Copper usually carries a much higher raw burden than aluminum.
So on paper, aluminum probably looks like a steal, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, its baseline raw cost is only 30 to 40% of copper's.
But wait, there's a physical penalty there, right? Because the sources say aluminum has lower conductivity. So you need roughly 1.6 times the cross-section to get the exact same electrical duty.
That's spot on.
So is buying an aluminum bus bar over copper kind of like, I don't know, buying a cheap printer but paying a fortune in ink?
Yeah.
Like you have a narrower water pipe, so to get the same flow, you have to use a physically larger pipe.
Yeah.
And that takes up way more space in your electrical enclosures.
That's a really good analogy. And what's fascinating is the underlying physics of that material change. Aluminum doesn't just need more physical space.
What else is happening?
Well, it oxidizes significantly faster than copper, and it expands and contracts a lot more under heat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so those constant thermal cycles mean the joints literally loosen up over time. So those upfront commodity savings, they get quickly devoured by the need for more complex joint hardware.
And I'm guessing a lot of maintenance, too.
Exactly. You need a much stricter, labor-intensive maintenance schedule just to stop the connections from failing.
Okay, so even if you figure out the raw metal math, you still have to physically shape this massive piece of metal to fit inside a facility. Does that fabrication drastically change the invoice again?
Oh, heavily. I mean, a standard stock bar with a single 90-degree bend is cheap, but the moment you require custom Z or U shapes,
the cost goes up.
You heavily increase the machine time and the risk of turning expensive raw metal into scrap.
Right.
Surface treatments follow that exact same logic. Like, silver plating the joints prevents oxidation and lowers contact resistance. But it's a premium addition. It really only belongs on demanding high current joints, not applied as a blanket default.
Wait, I'm genuinely confused here. If bare copper is the baseline, and silver plating is this expensive premium, why don't you just wrap the whole bar in cheap electrical insulation and call it a day?
It sounds logical, right?
Yeah, wouldn't that just protect it and remove the risk entirely?
Well, here's the aha moment. Insulation acts as a thermal barrier. It literally traps the heat generated by the electrical current flowing through the metal.
Oh, so it gets too hot inside.
Precisely. If you insulate the entire bar, the internal conductor temperature spikes. So to compensate for that trapped heat and prevent a total meltdown, you actually have to buy a much larger, heavier bar.
Just to safely carry that exact same amount of current.
Exactly.
Wow. So trying to be safe by wrapping it up could accidentally force you to buy way more metal.
Yeah. And that brings us to the operational lifespan, because you can't just look at installation.
Right. Once this thing goes live, the day-to-day physics impact everything. So how does that affect the total cost of ownership?
Well, you have to engineer for the worst-case scenario. That means short-circuit fault duty. A short circuit essentially turns the bus bar into a momentary bomb of electromagnetic force and extreme heat.
That sounds terrifying.
It is. Overestimating it is financially painful. If you jump from a 25 kiloamp to a 65 kiloamp fault level, the minimum copper cross-section cost increases by 160%.
Wait, 160%? That's a huge jump.
It is. But underestimating it is downright dangerous.
Right. The sources make it clear you can't cheap out on that rating. If you underestimate the maximum current surging through during a fault, the bar won't just overheat.
No, it could physically warp or just blow apart entirely.
Wow.
And if we look at the bigger picture, there's also a daily silent killer eating your budget.
Which is?
I squared R, or resistive energy loss. When a feeder runs continuously at a high load, the natural resistance of the metal creates heat.
Right.
And over a 30-year life cycle, that constantly lost energy translates directly into massive utility bills.
So if you are the one signing off on this procurement, you really have to look way past year one.
Right. TCO is a business case, not just a, quote, review.
Because Buying a thicker, slightly more expensive bus bar today can actually pay for itself over the next few decades simply by reducing that daily resistive heat bleed.
Exactly. So to optimize your strategy, you separate the raw metal index from the fabrication premium.
Stick to standard stock dimensions, right?
Yeah, and calculate the entire 30-year operating footprint.
Here's where it gets really interesting. That simple price tag we talked about at the beginning truly is an illusion. You aren't just buying metal, you are buying a long-term thermodynamic system.
Absolutely.
But before we wrap up, I want to leave you with something to ponder. If long-term energy loss and fault duty dictates so much of a bus bar's true cost today, how might the rapid rise of decentralized microgrids and highly variable renewable energy loads completely rewrite the way we dimension and price these systems in the near future?
That is a great question. It definitely changes how our infrastructure will have to adapt moving forward.